Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of From the Stand. This morning we're going to have a nice variety of guests, including Daryl Fisher, who has the story of a very special steerman that's on the field this week. We'll also meet Kevin Quinn and Corey Robin, the Flying Cowboys, and NASA's Susan Bell. But right now, I'd like to welcome Lieutenant Commander Rob Mitchell and Rich Henning. They are from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, otherwise known as NOAA. And you two take care of keeping track of all those hurricanes that pop up in the Gulf and in the Atlantic. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And I understand both of you are first-timers at Oshkosh.
Absolutely.
So far, so good.
Thrilled to be here.
Oh, my gosh.
It is awesome. If you're an old aviation geek, it's a great place.
Great. And the Orion P3 that you brought, which one?
We have
Kermit?
Kermit the Frog.
All right. Good. And that was on the plaza yesterday for the first time all day.
Correct.
And so I suppose you get to answer a lot of questions about the airplane.
Oh, it's great.
Good. Well, tell us both, start with you, Rich. What is the flight director's role in the entire mission?
Well, essentially, my job is to ensure that all the science objectives get taken care of. We serve two customers. We have the National Hurricane Center, which is our most important customer. But then we also gather research data so that future storms are better forecast. And my job is to gather that data and work with the pilots to gather it safely, so to help get us through the storm and out the storm safely.
And for you, Rob?
I'm at the front of the plane, and my job is to keep the blue side up and the bluer side down.
Very good. What are some of the special considerations that go into planning these kind of missions?
Well, one of the things is we coordinate our missions ahead of time with the Hurricane Center and with the researchers. We typically fly with a team of about three or four researchers, often from the NOAA Hurricane Research Division down in Miami. And so we end up with a plan. And then the great thing about our job is that whatever plan we have the day before the mission completely changes by the time we brief. And then we head out to the storm, and between the time we brief and the time we reach the storm, the plan changes again. So that's part of my job, is to keep up with that.
Okay. Are you only flying missions in the hurricanes, or are you flying other missions when there's not a storm imminent?
Oh, absolutely. We have lots of missions around the world, other times of the year. We just completed a six-week project in Salina, Kansas, flying severe thundorstorms that supercells that produce tornadoes, keeping the aircraft about 4 or 5 miles out ahead of those supercells and painting the inside of the storm with our tail Doppler radar. It was a great project. Lots of great science data collected on that.
Excellent. And with the around-the-world missions or overseas missions, so you deploy with an entire team then, including maintenance personnel?
Yep. So typically when we go internationally, we'll take a crew chief and a couple mechanics with us. But it's a really small team that goes with us. We're really nimble in that way. We can go anywhere in the world at pretty much any time. And we all work together to keep the plane flying and get the mission done.
Good. Of course, the footage that we all see on the internet is you actually penetrating the storm, going through it into the eye. And it's the fun part, I guess, quote unquote fun, but also challenging. So are there any special modifications to the P3 that, as far as structure or engines, to allow you to be able to penetrate the storms?
No, so structurally the airplane is the same as what the Navy flies, straight out of Lockheed Martin, and the way that we fly the plane is what keeps it safe. So by working as a crew, we can try to identify the softer areas of a storm, if that is such a thing, and by utilizing our radars, we try to pick the lightest radar gradients and the quickest way through the storm.
Okay. How many missions have you, or hurricanes have you flown through?
I have flown the plane physically through a storm 48 times. Probably been on the plane for about 100 missions going into the storm.
Describe the flight crew and the research crew that's on board.
So for each flight, we have typically three pilots and two flight engineers. We have two seats and one flight engineer, so we have a little bit of a rotation in the flight station that we can take a break occasionally. We've got our flight director and our flight navigator, who keeps us going straight through the storm. Behind us, we've got spaces for the researchers, and then we have a data systems operator that helps us get the data directly from the plane to the National Hurricane Center in near real time so that they can use those in their forecast models. And then we carry 1 to 2 AVAPS operators, which are the people in the back that are dropping the weather instruments through the storm to collect that data where we aren't.
Okay. And the instrumentation, as you mentioned, some of it's dropped and some of it is hardwired onto the aircraft itself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
What kinds of...
Yeah, we. This is arguably the most heavily instrumented and advanced airborne research aircraft in the world. We have some amazing instruments, some of them that have been in operation and development for over 40 years. We have an instrument that scans the ocean surface and looks for microwave energy coming up from the ocean surface to determine wind speed. And we've got that to where we can tell the difference between 100 knot winds and 140 knot winds with that instrument.
It's amazing. We're talking with Rob Mitchell and Rich Henning from NOAA, and they spend some of their days chasing hurricanes. How does the forecast look for this hurricane season, the rest
well,
of it?
We've gotten off to a little bit of an early start, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The one thing we always tell folks is that even in a relatively quiet hurricane season, it only takes one. In 1992 was a very quiet season, but it had Hurricane Andrew.
Right.
And so if you tell the folks in Miami that 92 was a quiet year, they'd probably beg to differ with you.
Those of us in the Midwest are pretty familiar with how thunderstorms form, but walk us through the life cycle of a hurricane.
Well, essentially, it starts with thunderstorms. You have a disturbance that comes off of Africa at low latitudes, moves across the Atlantic Ocean, and when the conditions are right, those thunderstorms gather into a disturbance that eventually forms into a depression. And then it's a feedback mechanism with nature where the more thunderstorms you have in the center, the more the winds are brought into the center, and the storm gets stronger, becomes a tropical storm, and eventually becomes a hurricane, and then you work your way through Cat 1 through Cat 5, depending on how the environment around the storm is, how conducive it is.
What's the history of actually flying through hurricanes? How many years has this been taking place?
Well, it actually goes all the way back to World War II. There was a bar bet. Major Duckworth was a pilot in the Army Air Corps back during World War II, and he made a bet with people that he could do it safely, and he came back alive and took a meteorologist with him on the next trip, and airborne reconnaissance was born at that point.
Amazing how many things happen at the bar.
Absolutely.
Especially with pilots.
Yep.
Rob, what's your background in flying, in aviation?
So I started as a young boy, wanted to be a pilot, and looking at the weather, those two interests really stuck with me. So as I was looking to go to college, my mom, being the smart lady that she is, told me that if I wanted to go do aviation, I had to have a backup plan, because at that time it was the airlines were in a downturn.
Right.
So she wanted me to do something else. So I went to the University of North Dakota. I got a degree in meteorology and a degree in aviation science. And from that, as I was starting toward the end of my training, I wanted to figure out how I could combine these two interests. And kind of on a lark, I came across the NOAA Hurricane Hunters and decided to give it a chance. So once I was commissioned, I cut my teeth on the Twin Otter, flew that plane for 5 years to gain some flight experience and do the missions that NOAA does, and was able to get selected to the P3 and train up on the P3.
And what kind of specialized training do you have as far as for flying these missions?
Well, so our guys, once they have a lot of aviation experience, they go to the Navy, and they learn how to fly the P3 the Navy way,
right.
Gain some experience there. And then once we come back, we do a lot of in-house training. We do a lot of briefings with our flight directors to learn about the weather if you don't have that background. And then you go out and you do on-the-job training. Really, you're going out with our aircraft commanders who have a lot of experience in the plane, and they're taking you through the storms and pointing out those unique features and the things to avoid.
Along with the P3, you also have in the fleet a G4. What is the mission of that aircraft?
Well, that aircraft flies at much higher altitudes. We're talking about between 40 and 45,000 feet, which is across the top of the hurricane, and even more importantly, in the environment surrounding the hurricane. We drop about 30 to 35 of those drop sonde instruments that fall by parachute, and that data is fed directly into the computer models that the Hurricane Center uses for track. And that G4 has greatly increased the track accuracy in their forecasts over the last 15 to 20 years.
That's amazing. And you're based in Lakeland, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Why Lakeland?
Well, we used to be based out of MacDill Air Force Base, and actually, Mr. Henning mentioned Hurricane Andrew. We were in Miami, and our center got taken out by Miami's or by that hurricane. So we moved up to Tampa. MacDill took us in for about 20 years, and then they moved us out to take in some new air tankers. And so Lakeland was gracious enough to accept us into their airfield and built us a brand new facility, and it's been a great time.
For those who are unfamiliar with the geography of Florida, Lakeland is right in basically in the middle of the state, so that would insulate you somewhat from hurricane damage while you're out surveying the hurricanes. But I know the hurricanes still come through that area. But and the airport there, Lakeland Linder Airport, has gone through some improvements as well.
Oh my gosh, they're growing like a weed.
Yes. Yeah.
How many people are in the hurricane center?
Aircraft Operations Center, approximately 100 people. So it is an amazing operation because we operate 9 aircraft that fly a variety of missions all around the world. We have the 2 P-3s and the Gulfstream 4, along with the Twin Otters, jet prop, and a Beechcraft King Air 350. And so it's actually a lot of people working year-round doing things all around the world.
And you and several others have been deployed to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for the week.
It's tough to eat.
I know. Where is the P3 parked, and how long will you be here?
We are here in Boeing Plaza, open for tours between 9 and 5, and we'll be here through Sunday. We're leaving Monday morning.
Okay.
We also have presentations going on at, I think it's Hangar 4, at the International Federal Partners Plaza.
Great. Rob Mitchell and Rich Henning from NOAA, thank you for being here. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope our attendees ask lots of interesting questions and keep you on your toes throughout the week.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having us here.
This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.